Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 371 for comics originally released on September 17th, 2014. Now, starting us off in DC is Sensation Comics featuring Wonder Woman number 2. This is the print version, so we decided, what, Drew, that covers 4, 5, and 6 of the digital?
I think so, yes.
We'll go with that and hope it's true. I think it's good that DC's doing some of this digital first stuff, but it does get a little confusing. In terms of what issues are going to be and where, what comes out when. I was expecting this to only contain kind of two digital installments versus the three, just because that seems to be what they've been doing over in Injustice this year. But the fact that we got a full first story, which I didn't count the print pages, but it felt like a full-size issue, and then got another, you know, story to boot, I really enjoyed. I think the first story, Taketh Away, dealt fairly well with Wonder Woman kind of, you know, as the de facto ambassador and such, and kind of her faith, how she treats it, and, you know, how it can treat her, so to speak, and told a very enjoyable story, kind of done in one. This is the kind of storyline that almost certainly would have taken, like, a six-issue arc if it had been done in, like, the Wonder Woman series itself. So having this to where we get it basically told in short order, you know, without padding or without missing any parts, I really enjoyed. What do you think of that story?
Yeah, I thought this was pretty nice. I liked a lot of the just the way that they characterized Wonder Woman. It's different than the stuff that's going on in the New 52. Mm-hmm. And it worked really well for me. I thought it was well presented, and I enjoyed the. Of course, I'm reading it digitally, so I kind of enjoyed that segmented chunks of story. I thought that worked really well. I read the whole run at once, so kind of blurs together for me. But it's something that I thought was really kind of interesting. It was something I wouldn't have normally picked up, but I thought they did a good job with it.
Now, this one seemed to me both set in kind of the timeless classic Wonder Woman era, if you will, but almost specifically in the Greg Rucka run when she was an ambassador and had the embassy and all that kind of stuff. As you read the whole thing kind of, you know, in one big chunk with the different stories, did it feel like it was a consistent Wonder Woman, or that they've been kind of bouncing around between eras and takes and versions of the character, if you will?
Yeah, I think I felt that a little bit. I'm not familiar with the Rucka version to tell you if it felt like that, but the Gotham-centric story of Wonder Woman was a little different than some of this later stuff that is in the issues that we're reviewing right now.
That's kind of what I thought, too, but it had been a month or so since I read the previous one. I just wasn't sure if it was just my memory or what.
But I think it kind of feels like the Legend of the Dark Knight, the way they're doing that. And it's kind of a revolving cast of creators, isn't it?
Yeah, same with the Adventures of Superman stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think using the digital to be able to tell kind of timeless classic tales, or tales with the timeless classic version of the character, or without being mired in the moment-to-moment continuity, you know, really frees up the creators to just tell some fun stories. I think the backup tale here, not the backup, but the third feature out of the two-parter and the one-parter, you know, whatever, Brace Yourself, that one I thought did a really interesting take on aspects of her childhood and the relationship with her mother and some of that stuff that would have been hard to do inside of a monthly comic where you've got kind of, you know, to service the ongoing continuities, what else is going on in the universe and stuff like that. Doing this kind of backstory in that way would have been challenging, but here it was great.
Yeah, this is, all in all, we've done a few of these digital first DC offerings, and they've all been pretty good. So it's really makes me want to, you know, open up some room on the old pull list and add them in, because they've been enjoyable. They've been different. Not as as relying on continuity and what's happening, you know, in New 52 proper, and it's kind of refreshing.
Well, for me, what's making these work by and large is kind of that counterpoint to being written for the trade. These are written for the digital installment, and you wind up with shorter, more focused stories. Even if they go on for two or three parts, that's the equivalent of a single comic book issue by and large. And you get more payoff, you get it sooner, the story just moves along faster without it seeming overly dense or anything, and it gives each issue a sense of completeness that so many titles just don't have these days. I mean, seriously, that lead story here would have taken, like I said, half a year to tell in an ongoing monthly series, because most likely, the way comics are written these days, it would have been written for the trade. And here we get it in two-thirds of an issue and another story to boot. So I think that really plays to the strength of digital and acts as a really nice counterpoint to some of the writing trends we've seen over the last decade or two because of trade paperbacks. You know, it keeps the story really rolling along at a good pace. And if you don't like an issue, great, wait for the next.
Yeah, you don't have to wait that long, and you can just put that one down and pick up another one, and it might turn a completely different corner, too. It might not even be recognizable at first.
Whereas if you don't like an issue of a regular comic, you almost need to wait till they relaunch it.
Yeah, you're stuck.
So I like how this has that turnover in creators, the done in one aspect. I've really been enjoying this. I will admit I am two issues behind. I have not read issues 3 or 4 of the Legends of the Dark Knight specials, because those are like 100-page tomes.
Yeah, they really collect those.
The second one I really enjoyed, because it read as a solid 100-page kind of a thing. It just kept building and building, and I just haven't had the time to really sit down and give these the proper read. But with what they're doing on Injustice Gods Among Us, Adventures of Superman, that kind of stuff, DC's doing some good stuff digitally, and this is no exception.
Yeah, it's really exciting stuff, and there really isn't an equivalent on the Marvel side, right? They don't have anything like this.
They do a few digital things, but then they tend to release it like as a mini-series or whatever.
Is that an Infinity line?
There's the Infinite Comics stuff.
Infinite.
And there's also things like Deadpool, Dracula's Gauntlet, or Thanos, A God Up There Listening, or a few things like that. But they almost seem to be serializing what's going to be a hardcover or something digitally, then in issues, and then as the collected thing. I don't know that they have anything that's just an ongoing, like they do here. And these are really almost anthology titles. You know, Sensation Comics is featuring Wonder Woman, but it's a different take, different creative team from issue to issue, or even within a print issue. So yeah, Marvel really doesn't have anything like that.
What was the decision to title it Sensation Comics? Do you know the backstory on that?
That's where the character first appeared.
Oh, so this is old. This is harkens back to the early days.
Oh yeah, this is old school.
Okay.
So that's why they did that. They've used the title once or twice over the last few decades. A time or two, they did a one-shot or whatever when they were doing a fifth week event or something a couple of years back of Golden Age-ish titles. But really, yeah, Sensation Comics, they haven't used that title other than the one or two one-shots since whenever the original run ended, and I don't even know when that was. I'm going to guess 50s, 60s maybe, if it lasted that long. I honestly don't know. Not well enough steeped in the Golden Age on that stuff. So
no, I read very little Wonder Woman, some of the New 52 stuff. Thought it was different enough, and we reviewed a copy of an earlier issue, and I thought it was pretty good and different. And I believe I read the Villain Month issue last September, and then I haven't really touched a Wonder Woman since then. And so I thought this did a good job of being super accessible for new readers, and nice bite-sized chunks of story, fun stuff going on here. I give it 4. I thought it was good.
Same here. I definitely think it's a 4 out of 5, and I think your point that it is accessible and well-suited for, say, the casual fan. You know, you don't have to make a serious investment. You can pick up the one issue, get in, understand the story, get the context, enjoy it, and get out and you're done. You know, you don't need to make, like I said, a long-term investment or something. And it's new reader friendly. And I think most of the digital first books tend to be that way. Certainly not all of them. But yeah, this is, I want to see more stuff like this.
And I think that's smart by DC, putting this out there digitally, very accessible both via, you know, you don't have to go to a comic store to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there, and you can get it in people's hands, and it can be that gateway comic for somebody who digs it, really likes it, and wants more, and then goes to seek out the additional titles and some of the mainline stuff.
Yeah, I think using those sorts of titles as gateway ones, you're right, perfect idea. They're perfectly suited for that. So hopefully people will be doing that.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Shall we move on to our Marvel book?
Yeah.
This is All New X-Men number 32. No, wow, 32. That's getting up there in numbers for Marvel, isn't it?
Well, it must be almost 3 years old.
I'm wondering how much longer it may last. this is, I guess, what, the second part or whatever of the storyline where they are encountering the Miles Morales Spider-Man from the Ultimate Universe. And this is a big, you know, kind of crossover with that. And in the first part, just to kind of recap, the all-new X-Men, which is by and large the original X-Men, time displaced to the current day, but still early teenagers or whatever, you know, early in their X-Men career, they encounter a new mutant. It's new mutant with lower cases, so a new person who has mutant powers, not a member of the new mutants, because with time displaced mutants, who knows, that could have happened too. That person essentially ejects them from the mainstream Marvel Universe, boots them into the Ultimate Marvel Universe, as was kind of revealed on the last page of the last issue, and blatantly plugged here with the "Welcome to the X-Men, Miles Morales. Hope you survive the experience," which is a callback to one of the early Kitty Pryde issues of "Welcome to the X-Men, Kitty Pryde. Hope you survive the experience." Well, a nice little callback there on the cover. In this issue, it's basically a bunch of short scenes with the various members of the team going, what happened, where am I, what's going on, oh crap. And that's pretty much the issue.
Rinse, repeat.
Rinse, repeat, exactly. And, you know, on the one hand, it was a good read. I enjoyed the issue. We got some decent character moments. Every character got the spotlight for a couple of pages. But as far as, like, progress on the plot, there was practically nothing. This is the sort of thing that, had it needed to be done in a two-page spread, they could have established all of this almost in that amount of space. Now, not just any creative team. It would have taken a fairly talented one, don't get me wrong, to pack that much into there. But there just there wasn't the amount of depth or plot progression here that I would really hope for out of a $3.99 comic. But ironically, it was still a good read. I mean, it just goes to show that Bendis is actually a very talented writer, even if he's not exactly moving the plot along at a rocket pace. What were your thoughts on the issue?
I thought it was okay. I was hoping there'd be more Miles Morales in this, because I'm enjoying that book, and mm-hmm. he was on the cover, and I thought it'd be majority of the story would revolve around him, and I think he's in maybe 5 or 6 pages.
Well, he meets Jean Grey, and that's it, whereas the cover implies he meets, like, I don't know, the whole team.
Yeah, so it was a little light on Miles Morales, and but that's kind of Bendis' thing with this book. It always seems a little lighter than what you would have expected in that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you read it, you breeze through it, and you're done a few minutes later, and you're like, oh, that was okay. and that's about it. You know, that's how I feel about most of them when I read it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's well done, well executed. But there's really not much there.
And that's a good way to do it. It's to phrase it and stuff. The execution is strong, but the depth is lacking. It's as far as the scenes go, we get, like I said, some good characterization, some good moments. But you could almost go from the first issue to the one after this. The first part of the story to the one after this, and provided there's a one-page recap of basically each character going, oh, what's going on, and you know, whatever scene they're in, I don't feel you would have really missed a whole lot here. Nothing that couldn't be recapped in a line or two of dialogue here and there. And it goes towards this is written for the trade. It's decompression, which, you know, it's by Bendis. Not too surprising. Are you going to stick around for the rest of the storyline, or...?
No, I'm not.
Is that because of the...
No, it's not, no. I mean, this is not a book I read normally, and so there wasn't anything here that said I had to come back. I mean, there's some fun stuff in here, don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed when Jean Grey read Miles's thoughts, and you got a really nice two-page spread that recapped a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a lot of fun there, and... I like most of that stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff in here, but not something I want to read ongoing. I mean, I bet you this would be great in trade. When you can take a big 6-issue run of it and digest it at once. And, you know, cause it's a breezy read and you flip through it quickly and it's not enough for a single issue to really hang your hat on and forget things from issue to issue. And if you let them stack up too, I think that would be all right. I don't want to do either. So, for me, it's just a 3.
Okay. Fair enough. Let me ask you this though. Did this have a realistic chance of hooking you if there had been more Miles Morales and frankly more story to the issue?
I'm really digging Miles Morales right now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if it was all dominated and he was going to continue on the team for a while, I might check it out as a secondary Ultimate Spider-Man book. Yeah.
I guess I'm trying to gauge, did this really have a chance of, as a crossover, transitioning you into this other title or not? And it sounds like if it had been a secondary Miles Morales book, yes. But otherwise, if it was just an opportunity to introduce you to the new X-Men and stay with them.
Right. And that's really how you pitched it to me. I'm sure you remember, you know, well, this is a crossover with Ultimate Spider-Man Miles Morales. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, cool. I'm really digging that book. I'll check that out. That sounds like a good one to review. So that's really what made me want to sample it again. And then it was really 4 or 5 pages.
Well, again, he hardly interacted. I think, and this comes down to one of the problems I'm having with how comics are both written and marketed these days. I basically gave you the pitch for the arc, and we only got a chapter of the arc.
Yeah. Maybe it'll, like I said, I bet the trade will be great.
Now, I'm curious if anyone listening is going potentially in the other direction. Has been reading all new X-Men. This got them an exposure to the Ultimate Spider-Man character, and if they may go further in that direction. Because to me, the whole point of this sort of a storyline, in addition to just telling a fun story, is taking two titles, intersecting them to where you get readers of each to sample the other, and then move forward, hopefully going on both. And we see this, you know, not as often as we used to, but back in the day when I was a kid and stuff, back then it worked. These days, it doesn't.
When's the last time you remember it working for you?
That's a tricky question, Drew, in so much as I read a lot, so for it to work for me, it had to be something I wasn't getting the other book already. But, you know, as far back as when Alpha Flight and Hulk crossed over around issue, or one of some of the early issues of Alpha Flight, and they switched creative teams, I guess that would have been around issue 26, 28, 30, somewhere in there, that got me onto the Hulk. You know, so that worked. And then, you know, from there, some of these titles cross over to other stuff. That got me into other titles. It just seems like based on the sales figures I see, this issue might get a blip because it ties in with the Ultimate Spider-Man. It might not, but I wouldn't expect it to be a lasting kind of a sales bump.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right about that.
Which is unfortunate, but understandable. For me, this was a 4 out of 5. In so much as it was a very enjoyable issue, it spotlighted all the characters better than a lot of comics spotlight the entire team every issue. And each character got their moment to shine. It's just they got only a couple of pages, so and the theme between them was fairly redundant. You know, where am I? Oh, I'm in this trouble. Let's move on. The plot didn't move forward. So kind of a weak 4 out of 5, but solid art and you know, entertaining story, if not deep and eventful.
Yeah.
But there's also a certain amount, it's by Bendis, I kind of got to expect that. Shall we move on to our other book of the week?
Yes.
This is George Perez's Sirens. This is part 1 of 6 from Boom Studios. I am a longtime George Perez fan. I got hooked on his stuff back when he was on Justice League of America. He'd been doing some Avengers at that point, but I wasn't reading Avengers then. And then he was doing New Teen Titans, Crisis. I mean, he's an amazing artist.
Echo that. I like, and he's a really nice guy. And
oh yeah,
takes the time for fan service at conventions. Goes out of his way to shake a hand, take a picture, sign a book for free. He's a really good guy.
Yeah, incredibly cool. I had the opportunity to chat with him in the lobby in San Diego one year before the convention started, and he was just happy as a kid at a candy store, just really personable, great guy. A ton of respect for him. I went into this really wanting to just love this book and say, oh my God, it's a 5 out of 5. It's amazing. And on the one hand, I did enjoy this issue. On the other hand, it really, for me, was not the easiest of reads.
It was so dense.
If there is a ton of story in this issue, there is a ton of reading to be done. And for a 22-page comic, for me, it read more like a 30- or 40-page comic.
This pound for pound has more dialogue and words in it than anything we've read in a long time. There's a lot in here.
If I didn't think it would be so much work to do, remember on the forum there was the thread where, yeah, you know, how many, yeah, words per page and stuff like that? I would love to know how this weighs in, because it's got to tip the scales. And what amazes me is how many panels we get on most pages, how much is happening in some of those panels, and there's still room for all of this dialogue, all of these captions.
Yeah.
The effective use of the page is outstanding. It's amazing.
Yes. Now, I can't, I'll let you kind of tell everybody what it's all about, but I'm going to tell you what I like about this.
Okay.
Because I don't really understand fully what he's going for here in this, what this is going to be about over these six issues. I think there's a little bit of what we experienced with the multiversity and Grant Morrison that I think George knows exactly what, and lives with this story and knows it. And I don't know if, he's kind of clued me in along the way. But what I like about this is there's several storylines going on simultaneously here. And I like some of them a lot. I really like the Schoolmarm Sheriff. She's great. Mm-hmm. What a great little story. I really like the, Gladiator female. She's a great character. And there are some of those interspersed, the Explorer, the, you know, there's some really great sirens, I guess, that are being gathered, and you're kind of touching on all of them. And some are really, really cool. But you really don't get to spend too much time with them because you've got a big team to get together.
Yeah.
A really big team to assemble. And so you're jumping around a lot and a lot. You're world jumping, time jumping, universe jump. It's all over the place a little bit for me.
And that was one of the things I found kind of challenging, is there were some really interesting transitions between scenes, characters, and time frames that I can really see if this were a TV show being kind of a voiceover bridge to the next scene, or a transition from one image to another in a fade kind of a deal. And I got how that was happening on the page here. But it also meant it's like, okay, now wait a sec, where am I? What's going on again? And it wasn't jarring, but it was a lot to take in. And as for what this is all about, I have two answers for that. The first answer is it's about George Perez doing a comic book for six issues. What more need be said?
Good enough.
But I will go ahead. I pulled up the solicit for the first issue here, and it reads as follows. As an intergalactic force enslaves planets across the galaxy, the legendary team, known only as the Sirens, must reunite to save the galaxy. But is that even possible when the Sirens themselves don't even remember who they are? And the rest of the universe only remembers them as villains? A six-issue miniseries featuring your favorite new comic book team, written and drawn by the master himself, George Perez, begins his greatest story yet. Okay, interesting pitch. I didn't really get the sense they came across as villains, but I'll be honest, I kind of got a little bit lost in some of this.
Yeah.
And the part I struggled with is as early as the cover, and I got the one that had, I guess it's the main, I don't know how many covers they're putting on this, but it's the one with the girl with the two swords and,
yep,
on the, okay.
And
the one
that, blue.
And the blue, the one that looks like Dr. Light, the female version.
Yeah, yeah.
And her face in the blue, just, it's frankly not all that great.
It's not a George Perez cover.
Well, that's the thing, is it is.
We're not, that we're used to.
Yes, that's the point. This is not George's best work. Now, in my opinion, even his not best work is still really, really good. But there are a couple of places where it's like, you know, he's reached such a high level on some of his work that, you know, I would like to see that every time he goes and sits down in front of the comic book page. That's an incredibly high bar and a totally unrealistic expectation. But
not really, because it's the first issue of the miniseries. You would think that he would want to blow your socks off with the cover.
Fair enough. I think it's also a matter, though, of expecting any artist to always exceed their prior work is a little unfair.
Probably.
But, you know, and the rest of the cover is still outstanding. There's just, you know, it's easy to nitpick on some of the stuff. And again, he set a high bar for himself. The page layouts, the panels, all of that stuff is, like I said before, just amazing how much he gets on the page. But while that worked for the comic, it also worked a little against the comic, is I really didn't feel connected to any of the characters yet. And it was hard for me to get into the story because, I mean, by the time I read it, it was a little late in the evening. I guess I was just tired or whatever. It was a little overwhelming.
You got to start early in the evening because it's a long read.
I got to time it better than I did. I don't know if early in the morning or whenever I'm just ready to just, yes, I want to dig into this. I need to reread this comic because the amount of world building he did, and as you said, multiple time frames, characters, locations, planets, he did more world building in this than I think is done in some entire comic book titles over the run of them. And to do all of that in a single issue just is a little bit mind-blowing. And
a little too much.
Yeah.
It's a little too much. It's a little too dense. You know, maybe we just meet half the team in this issue would have helped give you a little more room to breathe. You know, the maid that was the cyborg, that was a really interesting character too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's some stuff in here that is interesting that you just got a little bit and then you kind of went and it went and then the words just exploded on the page and you had to try to catch up with the technical jargon and some of the different race names that you're seeing for the first time, and some of the strange alien names that are just jam-packed in here, and it really makes for tough reading. And so that was a challenge. That was a real challenge for me.
But isn't that a really fun problem to have with a comic? There was too much story. It was too much to take in. I know it's all there on the page, so it's not like I got to guess at it. I just need to actually read it and pull it out.
I mean, we do ask for meatier issues, and this is a meaty issue, but I don't know how well it was really executed from a story perspective.
I think it was overly ambitious. And again, hard to really fault somebody for that, particularly somebody who's really good at his craft. And there's no question to me that George Perez knows how to write and draw a comic. I mean, he put so much into this, though. It reminds me of when I saw the Apollo movie that Ron Howard did, and it was a long movie, but I came out of it thinking, wow, it's already over. Because it's not the length of the story or the amount of material in it, it's how effortless it seems to go through it. You know, is it a page turner or not? And in some cases, you get a page turner like the all new X-Men just because there's not much there. Others, because you're reading it so fast, you're so into the story, you can't wait to get to the next page. Here, it took a fair amount of effort to go through the page to get to the next page.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I have to admit that, you know, it took me two tries on this. I did try a little later in the evening with my first attempt and made it about 10 pages in and gave up, fell asleep, and then I just started at the beginning again the next night and started earlier because I wanted to give it a full read and not break it up over 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very dense.
Yeah, it's one of those things that even now, I'm still wondering where, when the sirens, you know, come to the present day, where a few of them came from, and what's going on. I'm looking forward to more of this. It's just there's so much here. It's
did I miss the origin of the tiny girl, the tiny siren,
the tiny girl and the blonde in the jeans,
the ripped jeans. I don't remember their stories. I don't believe.
I don't know that we got all of them. I think we just got kind of two or three of them, and then it's like, okay, we'll pick up the rest later. But there was so much going on. There was so much time jumping that I don't know that we didn't get it, and I just lost track.
Yeah.
And that's the quandary for me.
That's part of the problem. And unfortunately, yeah, it's very dense. It's kind of messy. And I don't really get where we're going. And unfortunately for me, it's got to be a 2.
Wow. I agree with you on many of those points. But my take is I applaud a creator that is willing to challenge the readers, go on the assumption that they can pick up on what's going along, treat them with I don't even want to say respect, but a certain amount of trying to think what would be the right way to phrase this. You know, George Barrows is going on the assumption that he can throw a lot of story at us. We can, you know, keep track of it all and all of that, and that we are better readers than I think I was when I read this. And I don't think it's that he didn't do his job. I think it's that I wasn't in the right mind space to do this. Whereas I've read some other stuff where it's like, you know, you didn't give me enough of the story. You missed a couple of points between A and Z, and I got lost or something like that, or it was just muddled or something. This was just overwhelming for me. So I'm going to give it a low 4, hoping that either on a rereading or when the 6 issues complete, it really ties together and it all falls together for me. But this was one that I wanted to really love. It was challenging. If you quizzed me on this as to what happened, who characters were and such, I do not think I would get a very good grade on that.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you anybody's name. No, not a single character's name.
Well, and that's part of why I came out of it not really feeling connected to any of the characters. There were some interesting ones, some ones I think I might like if I get to know them a little better. But it was like a fire hose almost.
Yeah, I would be interested to hear some other takes on this, whether... I do not subscribe to the fact that I was in any way at fault for not liking this. I think
no, and I don't think you were.
I think I gave it a fair shake, mm-hmm. and you know, multiple attempts, and did my best to put it together. And I just think that there's way too much going on and not laid out in a very, very well written manner. And unfortunately, you can have a dense book. You can have a dense book with a lot of world building, like a Lazarus or something, and just fill it full of back matter and some just really great backstory stuff and it doesn't feel like this. So, you know, that's where my problem is it doesn't feel like some of the more dense books that I've read that build big worlds.
No, and I get what you're saying. I guess I don't disagree with you, but my rating is based more on, I don't think it was bad. I think it was overly complex and dense. Dense isn't the right word.
Jam-packed.
Jam-packed is a good phrase. Again, I get exactly where you're coming from, and I don't fault you for that at all. I think that's a very fair assessment. And it's going to be interesting to see how other people kind of judge this book. And maybe I'm being a little biased because I really like his work and stuff, and I thought there were some good things in here, but are a lot of people going to say, wow, it was too much, it's not working, it's, you know, and therefore have a harsher take on it or not? I think if he had done kind of what you're suggesting is simplify the story, tell a little bit less of it in this issue, make it a little, frankly, a little shallower, instead of as deep and involved as it is, it might have been better off. It's just ironic for us to be sitting here on the one hand saying all new X-Men had next to nothing in it and, you know, whatever. And
it is.
Siren has too much in it, you know?
We are the three bears.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be just right.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's...
A lot of creators get it. They hit it. They hit that sweet spot, though.
I read a lot of
great comics.
Like, yeah.
The comics that I read are great. Month to month, they're fantastic. And so I mean, I don't think it's that high of an expectation.
Daphna Pleben is the editor. Chris Rosa is the assistant editor. I'm wondering what else they have edited, and I am not trying to place blame on them or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if this had been done by somebody who was a really accomplished editor, could have given George some coaching or some suggestions or whatever.
Well, but you have to think too of the climate, because George Perez is their superstar. There's nobody at Boom bigger than him. And who's going to tell him, you know, you've lured him over here, you know, you want him to be happy there.
You have courted him to there. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. You're not going to micromanage any of his stuff, and you're not going to have a heavy editing hand. Like, well, I can totally understand why they would, you know, be a hands-off and just let the creator create his vision.
And that's very fair and stuff. I would like to think if this issue had come out while Mark Waid was still there as editor-in-chief or whatever,
yeah,
he would have been able to sit with George and say, I've got some concerns that some readers might find this a little much, or how about this, or, you know, what about that, without micromanaging or putting undue editorial influence on George. And maybe this would have turned out to have been an 8-issue series or something. I don't know. Because I don't think it's bad. I just think the amount of content per page is, frankly, higher than I'm used to with today's comics. You take somebody who was versed in 80s comics or whatever, when there was a lot more done in one and things on the page, or 70s stuff, where you would have a huge Kree, you know, Skrull war take the place of, like, 3 issues or something, they wouldn't bat an eye at this. And again, that's almost the, well, not almost, that is the era that really George, you know, came into comics and such. So I applaud the amount of content he's trying to put into this issue and such. I just would like to see it be paced better or in a more absorbable manner. I would think that Kurt Busiek on Astro City, every issue is carving out a new part of that world, creating a lot of stuff, and just departing, you know, or imparting so much information on us. This is trying to do the same thing, but on a grander scale in a single issue. Kurt Busiek, Mark Waid, there are other people who could, I think, give him some coaching on how to tell this size and scope of story. And it's not like George doesn't know how to tell a story. He does. I would love to hear what the listeners think on this one. Am I being overly charitable? Did they have similar problems? Or was I just too tired when I read it? Is this a really a breeze to go through it if you do it right? Or what?
Yeah. Am I way off base? Who knows?
So what else did you read this week?
Let's see. I'm in the digital first realm. I'm checking out the new Arrow season 2.5. So issue 1 and 2 are out for that. So I was checking that. I thought that was pretty good. Very, very much, if you like the show, it's right there. So, pretty much spot on, which is pretty cool, actually. It's kind of fun to do that in the off season and read some of those things. I'm just getting back into Dark Horse Presents. They relaunched that book and shaved $3 or $4 an issue off of it. Mm-hmm. So it's a little more affordable now. And, the first 2 issues have featured Resident Alien stories, and I really like that book. So I've been checking that out a little.
I hope they continue the trend of collecting those into like a one-shot or something when they're done, because they did that with the others.
Yeah, I'm assuming it'll be a 3-issue mini eventually once they get all the stuff out of it. But it just has this, you know, you just like a comfortable pair of shoes, you know, you just pick up right where it left off. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a great anthology someday, I think, too. It's a really good series. Daredevil 8, still good.
Yeah.
No qualms there. Doberman 3, are you still reading Doberman?
I am. I still think the first issue was the high point.
It's losing a little bit for me. I think you're right. But I'm sticking around a little bit longer to check out a little bit more of this. Manifest Destiny 10.
I don't think Doberman's gotten bad. I just don't think it's as good as it started, just to be clear on that.
Yeah, had a lot of potential, and I don't know if it's realized it completely in his last. But, it's still good. Mm-hmm. Definitely still good.
So, Manifest Destiny, you were saying?
Yeah, number 10 is kind of really hit its stride. It's really just a breathtaking book. And have you ever even sampled this one?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. It's something you might want to check out sometime, because it's pretty tame. I mean, there's it's well drawn, but you know, just well collared, well written. There's a lot of great stuff in here. I mean, occasionally there's a zombie plant or something like that, but it doesn't get too bad.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of really good books. Nothing great. What about you? Anything stick out for you this week?
Read issues 2 and 3 of Death Vigil. I had sampled that one, and it took me a little bit to get the second issue from DCBS, because it took a while for me to actually place the order. Really liking that. That's a lot of fun. That's Stepan Sedgwick doing that. Read a bunch of the Future's End stuff, 1 or 2 out of order, because there was nothing telling me the order I should have read 1 or 2 of them in. That was a little annoying.
Huh.
That was Wonder Woman and Superman Wonder Woman that I read out of order.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it happens. And then Multiversity, Society of Superheroes, read that, and Infinite Crisis, Fight for the Multiverse, both of which are dealing with the multiverse, both of which are coming out on the same week every time, and I don't know if they're in the same multiverse or not, which is a little, again, ironic. I mentioned that before, last time they came out. Both are fun reads, though. The Multiversity, we got that Ultra comic mentioned in there again. He's beating that drumbeat a little too heavily, and these are standalone one-shots, and if it builds to something great, if it doesn't, don't know, but I think I'm actually enjoying the Infinite Crisis series a little bit more in some respects. I don't think it's the better written, I think it's the more enjoyable, though, which is weird.
Huh.
And beyond that, Superior Spider-Man, Edge of the Spider-Verse, all that stuff is still great, really loving that. But yeah, by and large, it was a good week, but very few that are just, oh wow, everybody's got to go read this.
Something I hadn't read by the end of last week was Wild's End by Dan Abnett. That was really a great little debut. It was, if you like your talking animals like I do, really, really cool little story, well drawn, and a lot of fun. Did you pick that up by any chance?
No, I did not.
That was really neat. I think it's Boom. I'm trying to think off the top of my head if that's a Boom book or not. But yeah, it was really, really well done. And, you know, it's very British, mm-hmm. and, but I liked it. And it's got a real, like, fantastic Mr. Fox sense to it, Watership Down type of style.
Interesting.
So if that's something that's up your alley, yeah, definitely check out. But yeah, it's a Boom book.
All right, cool.
You've got another con this week, right?
Yes, I do. The Wizard World Austin is coming up on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of October. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's just weird scheduling. With Austin City Limits going on in town, that I think was a large part of why it was scheduled that way. So Thursday, I think it starts at like 4 in the afternoon, runs till 9 o'clock, and then Thursday it starts at like 2 in the afternoon, and then Saturday they've got the thing all day. 11 o'clock on Saturday in room 6, Derek Royal of the Comics Alternative and I are going to be doing a panel on podcasting and social media. Hopefully some people will show up and we'll have a good discussion there. I'm looking forward to the convention. It should be a lot of fun. So, and that's also that Saturday, the 4th, is when the preview spotlight clips are due. I had sent out the first reminder and gotten the on the subject line, gotten the thing wrong, still said September, but I think people are smart enough to figure out, oops, that was a mistake, but I sent a correction nonetheless. Hopefully people will get some stuff in early, because like I said, it's going to be a little bit of a busy weekend for me between the convention, doing the panel, having to get the preview spotlight done, and I'm not sure if the September numbers are coming out that weekend or the next. I'm kind of hoping the next, but, you know, we'll see. And, of course, new TV season, so there's tons of TV to watch, too.
Yeah, Gotham.
I actually have not watched that yet. I'm stockpiling a couple of things. My sister is traveling at the moment, and we're going to watch a lot of that stuff together and stuff, see what we think. Should be a good TV season, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Looking forward to a lot of stuff. Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That'll do it for me.
Cool.
Join us next week as we discuss Booster Gold Futures End number 1 from DC, Loki, Agent of Asgard number 6 from Marvel, and G.I. Joe number 1 from IDW.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.